Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. On today's program, we continue our series with Dr. Neufeld, the greatest sermon ever preached. And we will be looking at the meaning of the golden rule. So turn with me to our passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, as we go back to the Bible with Dr. John.
Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is announcing the coming of his kingdom, and in that, he announces that his kingdom is at war with the kingdoms of this world. We are called upon to engage in battle until his kingdom is consummated, and the kingdoms of this world are no more. But the weapons of his warfare, as Paul would later say, are not carnal. He would call upon his followers to love their enemies, to pray for those who persecute them. They would be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and the way they would act would be an invitation to call men and women to leave their attachments to this world and hear the call of his kingdom. And his followers, in the treatment of them, would find his community a community of grace. And so while the world's religions call men and women to be considerate of others and even to love people and treat them with respect, in Jesus, his call to the golden rule is absolutely unique. And that leads us then to consider what doing the golden rule actually looks like in the life of a follower of Jesus. Have you ever wondered what would happen if everyone behaved as you did? I know that there are lawless people in this world who boast that most people don't have the courage to behave as they did. Well, perhaps they're right. But what if everyone did have the courage to do what they did? What if others had their courage to take advantage of another person in a business deal, let's say? To murder when someone got in their way or when they disagreed with them, or to take risks for their own selfish gain and the disadvantage of others, or to slander others and so discredit them so that they could get what they want. What if the rest of the world had that kind of courage? Well, if that happened, all law and order would lie in ruins and the world would become a living hell. Ask the gangster what would happen if everyone became a gangster, or ask a thief what would happen if everyone became a thief, or a drug pusher if everyone preyed on children as he did. What would happen then? The answer is always the same. Wicked men count on the fact that the vast majority would not behave as they do. They count on the hope that others who are abused by them would not know and be able to respond to them as they have treated them. Now, the golden rule turns the matter around. If you practice the golden rule and everyone behaves as you did, the world would be a very much better place. And so it's always seemed to me that the first test of the golden rule is that basic test. What would happen if everyone did what I did? Consider the person who cheats on their income tax form. If everyone did the same, roads would not be built, health care would not be available, public education would be denied to the vast majority, and the electricity in our homes would not come on. Police departments would not be paid, and no fire department would show up in the case of a fire. Think of the unethical businessman who finds a way to break the rules while in competition with others. Again, if everyone broke the rules, there is no contract anywhere that would make any difference, and in the end, no business would survive. You know, I could multiply illustrations, but you do get the point. At some basic level, doing to others what we would have them do to us means that we conduct ourselves in a way that is exemplary. But of course, the golden rule goes well beyond that. It invites us to do more than make it possible for a culture to survive. It invites us to find ways of blessing others, making their lives what we would want our lives to be. You know, as I've already mentioned, all the commands of God that are related to the treatment of our neighbor are so directed. I would want my neighbor, if according to the Old Testament law, he saw my ox or cow straying from my field, I would want him to take the time and put it back again. And I should do the same if my neighbor's cow strays. You know, in contemporary terms, if my neighbor's on vacation, I might want to take in his or her mail and keep watch on his or her house so that no one breaks in. I would love it if the same were done to me. But the matter becomes much more complicated when it comes to some of the commands of God. For instance, in Matthew 18, Jesus gives very explicit instructions about his future church and the process of excommunicating someone who will not repent. Now, most of us would say I don't want the experience of being excommunicated. It would be very painful if done to us. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 reiterates this point, even using the words, hand this one over to Satan. Furthermore, some of the commands of Jesus seems to violate the golden rule. He calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers and whitewashed tombs and men who, when they win a disciple, make them twice the child of hell that they are. Who would want that to be said about them? You know, I, for my part, would not want to be spoken of in that manner. Indeed, in the case of Judas, Jesus said that it would have been better for him never to have been born. Furthermore, no one spoke more frequently on the subject of hell than Jesus did. He warned about the real possibility of people going to a place where their worm or their essence would never die and the fire would never be quenched. In that place, he said, there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here is the point of insight. If we assume, as I do, that Jesus was entirely consistent in every way, we might do well to consider that the golden rule and its application requires a little more thought than the idea that we should be nice to everyone. For Jesus was not nice to some, even while he was amazingly compassionate to others. How are we to apply the golden rule to church discipline, or confronting an abuser, or turning in a criminal to the police, or again, the examples simply multiply? You know, I think from my perspective that in order to understand the golden rule, we need to apply it from the perspective in which Jesus gave it. For Jesus was announcing the onset of the kingdom of heaven. He had come to inaugurate the rule of God and to destroy evil. Eventually, all evil would be overthrown and Satan would be driven out, evil men defeated. All would stand before the judgment seat. Eternal life or eternal misery awaited every single human being. Now, in this time when the kingdom had come but was not yet consummated, now, right now, was the time to repent. See, from that perspective, the golden rule must mean that what we would want others to do for us is to warn us that the time of universal judgment lay ahead. It is no kindness at all if we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, but do nothing about their eternal soul. In the light of eternity, we would consider it an act of violence if the one who fed us when we were hungry knew about the great white throne of God's judgment and about the mercy and forgiveness and grace found in the cross and did not explain it and invite us to become one of the children of God. We would turn to that person in eternity and say, "So you had the words that would rescue me from darkness into light, and you kept them from me." How would you want it if someone treated you in that way? See, for the Christian, the golden rule necessitates evangelism, discipleship. And when a brother or sister is erring and putting their soul in danger, we do well to warn them. We do well to invite them to repent and turn and be healed. That is doing to others as we would have them do to us. And so, in a way, the golden rule does encapsulate all that Jesus taught in relation to others. We are not to lust after another man's wife or another woman's husband, for to do so brings harm to both our spouse and the marriage of another. We are not to divorce our spouses, for to do so brings harm to them. We are to do good to those who persecute us, for to do so makes it possible for them to repent and turn and be forgiven before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are not to do our deeds of righteousness to be seen by others, lest they think that devotion to God is a matter of, well, human popularity and pride. Indeed, we are to feed the hungry, and we are to clothe the naked, for if we were hungry and naked, how gracious it would be if someone treated us in that manner. But we are also to warn, to confront, to appeal to men and women to be reconciled to God. Now, if we do that in a judgmental fashion, we can rest assured that we will not win them. Rather, we will only contribute to condemning them. Only in relation to those who are unwinnable, like the Pharisees, who want to subvert the vulnerable, do we take the kind of harsh tone that Jesus took. When Jesus calls us to do unto others what we would wish that they would do to us, he was giving a command to his followers that would require a great deal of thought. After all, the light of the world and the salt of the earth need wisdom if they are to truly be salt and light. For the world is full of people who will tell you what to do, but the world is in genuine short supply of those who win the lost and heal the wounded. So, if you're a child of God, what is God now saying to you? From Jesus, when you read this account, what is your calling? When you look at your circle of influence, perhaps to your children or your spouse or your family or your work colleagues or the people you lead at church, or perhaps you have a wider leadership role in your community, and all these things, what are you to do? May God give you wisdom as you seek to do to others what you would so dearly have someone do to you. May your way of life be exemplary. Heavenly Father, thank you for the clear command that we are to love our neighbor. Thank you for the example that you have shown us in how you have acted towards us. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us the power to live according to that which you have taught. Amen.
Doing unto others means more than just random acts of kindness. It implies a lifestyle of intentionally encouraging and sharing with others about the truth that leads to eternal life. I hope that this message has blessed you today and given you new insights into the Golden Rule. Join us again as Dr. Neufeld continues unpacking the Sermon on the Mount, looking at Jesus' invitation to the kingdom in Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 to 20. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email at info@backtothebible.in.